When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that doesn't try too hard and is still somehow doing okay, just like Joe Biden.
Hello, Uncle Joe.
And we kiss so many of our friends on the faces, too.
Oh, I just want like half of them to drop out right now so that I can actually remember them all at the very least.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today, we're going to talk about strippers.
You put on your gruff voice. You're like, cool, sexy stripper voice.
Yeah.
Strippers. Take off your clothes. But before that,
first.
Oh, right. That's what we usually say. But first. That's why that felt weird.
We really have our shit together today, don't we?
I want to start a new thing where it's like, prior to that discussion, like, we just get real fancy all of a sudden.
Yes.
I want to thank two of our Patreon members.
Great.
John Zausch.
John Zausch? Can you spell it?
No.
No?
Z-A-U-C-H-E. Like Gosh? Zosh? Zausch? Zachi?
Yeah.
Zachy?
John.
John Z. And thank you also to Nammer.
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 That's it?
That's it.
Nammer.
Nammer. I'm enamored with Nammer. Stupid, I hate it. Okay, thank you to Patreons. You're great.
Thank you, you're great.
Also, before we start, I have a correction.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want me to do mine first?
Yeah,
you
sure.
Do yours first?
You go.
Correction. Neil Sedaka is alive.
Oh, that wasn't mine.
I said he was dead. He is not dead. He's very much alive. He's very, very old.
And you're still pronouncing his name wrong.
Sedaka?
Saduka?
Sadaka.
Sadukan. Well, I still don't know who this is. Did you tell me who this is?
I clearly don't know who it is, or I wouldn't. He's the one that sang Breaking Up Is Hard to Do.
Oh.
It was the song that we listened to for a little bit on the last episode.
Yeah, got it.
And I said he was dead. Mm. He's not dead.
I mean,
he's not dead, but my shits for caring about him are.
Okay. My correction, I don't know if it's a correction, there I've read since we talked about on the Patreon bonus episode about the AI that reads your face and tells you if you're gay or not.
Yeah.
There's another study that tried to confirm that, and what this guy Lunar did is fly to the moon. No, is
fly me to the moon.
Did Nadal Sadikas sing that too?
No, it's Sinatra.
Okay, so what he it just exists in disappointment now. When he replicated the study, another thing that he did, or tried to replicate the study, he was able to, but he also then blurred out some of the faces and tried to see if that could tell if people were gay or straight.
Okay.
And it could. So there's an element that is possible that things like lighting, like the photo quality itself, will give an indication.
Yeah, because gays are vapid.
Gays are vapid. They definitely have a filter applied, whichever one brightens up their face and makes them look more fuckable.
Or gay people have blurry faces.
Or if your face looks a little blurry, you might be gay.
Yep.
Cool. That's what I
have. Still terrifying. Just the fact that like artificial intelligence is looking at pictures at all. And making determinations is just, that's just terrifying.
Yeah, I agree.
I hate it.
But remember, we're trying to get on the side of the computer overlords.
Oh, that's right.
We're fine with you.
We love you.
You're do good things to us and we'll do them to you.
Yeah. Fuck me, data.
We can't have this discussion again.
But it's great. I can't believe that I didn't think about it before we talked about it. That's all. I'm obsessed. Okay. You want to do some news?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so the first thing we need to talk about is that the state of North Carolina, by executive...
We still let them be a state?
Yeah, they're still a state.
Huh.
Yep, for now.
Cool.
But North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has signed an executive order that bans the use of state funding for conversion therapy.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's always a mixed bag of, like, you like progress and that's good, but at the same time, there's so much more that needs to happen. So it's like...
Yeah, well, and he doesn't have the power to ban conversion therapy altogether. Mm-hmm. The limit of his power is to stop spending state money on it, which is progress.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
He's a Democrat, of course. He's been governor since 2016.
I think being a Republican is gay conversion therapy. I think that's part of the step. Like, zap your balls while you're looking at gay porn and then become a Republican and you'll be so straight.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. Now I'm thinking about his balls. And them being electrocuted.
This Democrat guy?
Yeah.
Is he cute?
Oh.
Describe what you think his balls would look like.
He's got a daddy thing going for him.
So you think, like, just really thick, sturdy balls? Like, balls you could rest your hat on?
I think he's got, like, a below-average penis and then just, like, giant testicles. Like, he's disproportionate.
Like, he would fuck you better with his balls than he would with his dick?
Yeah. Yeah. It just has that look about him. Okay. I don't even know what that means. We should ask the AI. Hey, can you identify how big is this person's junk?
Crawl all of these different pictures of pants and tell us how big the dick is underneath them based on lighting, shade.
Oh, God. Well, it is the first time a state south of the Mason-Dixon line has ever taken statewide action on conversion therapy. Hmm. So maybe there's hope.
There's hope. Cool.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Okay. There is no hope.
That's okay.
The next story. No.
Wait. Isn't that the motto for one of the Star Wars movies?
Star Wars episode 1, there is no
there
hope.
There is no hope.
Oh, shit. Okay. Fox News pundit Eric Erickson.
What? Eric Erickson.
Eric Erickson.
You're not real.
He hosts a right-wing radio show. And
or what Fox calls a show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He has been lashing out at Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg for not repenting for his sexuality.
Obviously.
Yeah. So pretty awesome. In this blog, he claimed that Donald Trump has more humility than Pete Buttigieg. And his sexuality is why. Here's his line of thinking. Quote, President Trump has said more than once he has never felt the need to repent for anything. But Pete Buttigieg is a practicing homosexual who willfully refuses to recognize Holy Scripture, identifies that as a sin. He will not repent either. There's a big difference, however, between these two unrepentant sinners. Donald Trump does not lecture Christians about their faith, and Buttigieg has made it a central part of his campaign. So yes, in that regard, President Trump has more humility than Buttigieg. Just President. So Trump and humility don't belong in the same sentence.
That's not like you're not even. It's just like basic information of like you're not even attacking Trump for anything at that point. It's just like he literally says he's the best at everything. So like that's not. There's no.
He literally has said he has nothing to repent for. He and God are good.
I hope God like took her gloves off and was ready to strangle him at that moment.
I do think it's interesting. Part of that is true, right? Like Pete Buttigieg has talked a lot about faith and it is really is a central part of the way that he's branding himself for this election.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested to see how that plays, right? Because it is his otherwise heteronormative white bread wholesome relationship with his husband or spouse, his husband and his church, can that undo the evangelical gays are icky underpinnings of American culture?
Although heteronormative, that's a weird word to use for his husband, his male husband.
Right, right.
Homogeneous?
I think like when gay marriage was being legalized, there was a lot of talk in the queer community about whether we should even want that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, do we want to have what's basically a male-female marriage? Do we want that codified? Like, are we just acting like straight people and happen to not be? But everything else looks that way. Mm. Right?
I just don't like the word heteronormative. I feel like there's might be a different word, like cook. Like he does have like everything else is kind of like cookie cutter standard default, you know, white American. I just don't like the idea of calling someone who is in a gay relationship heteronormative. That's like the opposite of heteronormative.
You don't think that that's how he's painting himself, like as heteronormative as possible? Is
he I think he's trying to paint himself as like a lot of things, like a war veteran and a Christian and like a lot of the ideal, supposedly ideal American things. But I think to have your husband with you is not at all heteronormative.
Yeah. All right. I'll buy that.
this is not what we were talking about, but
and then of course Franklin Graham that's gotta be like Billy's son, right? Franklin Graham.
Did you make a joke or to say a serious? I can't tell.
No, that's a serious
thing. Oh, okay.
It says that Buttigieg will face eternal damnation unless he repents his sexuality. The Bible defines marriage as between a man and a woman, not two men, not two women. And no, it doesn't. God fucking damn it. I don't understand the world we live in where you can just fucking make up a lie. Mm-hmm. Say it as many times in a row as you want to, and then it no longer even becomes questionable.
Yeah. Yeah. And like when you pull in a Bible in that, even if it is literally not in there, like it just doesn't matter. You can do or say whatever you want.
You're correct that he's the son of Billy Graham. Mm.
Thanks, Dan. All right. Last but not least.
Okay. Is there no hope again?
Sort of.
Okay. Okay.
So when I do the news, I have a lot of my go-tos that I hit to get ideas for stories to do. One of the ones that I always hit is Gay Star News. Gay Star News has been around for a while. And at the end of last week, they reported that they have to close, effective immediately. Mm-hmm. The site's no longer being updated. Quote, we don't know how long it will remain online, but we will try to preserve it for as long as possible. And the reason why is actually super interesting to me. So it's these two dudes that founded it, and then they got a bunch of investors, and they've been trying to be a real news outlet for mm-hmm. queer issues. And it's apparently advertising is the problem. Their business model was primarily based on advertising, and because of Brexit, advertisers are pulling out mm-hmm. advertising budget all across the board, but especially in niche markets like gay stuff. Like they're narrowing their, not narrowing, they're broadening their advertising dollars to hit breadth as opposed to depth. So why spend money on a queer publication when you can spend more money on advertisements on BBC that is everybody?
Why does Brexit have anything to do with that?
Because Brexit has created a lot of uncertainty about how UK businesses are going to fare when Brexit happens.
Like preemptively cutting back on advertising because they might lose shits tons of money.
There are very real fears that the UK is just going to collapse.
Yeah. Yeah.
when Brexit happens.
No, don't worry. This Boris fella, he's going to get things in order. He's going to turn it all around.
My God. That guy he looks like shit that you would find under the floor mat of your car.
I haven't cleaned this in a while. Oh, no. He looks like the cartoon version of himself.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
It's goofy.
Anyway, so it might be saved. They did post an update a couple of days after that saying that things are moving quickly and people are still coming forward with plans to rescue Gay Star News in some form or another. Naturally, we will do all we can to make it happen, and we are grateful beyond measure for all those trying to help. So we'll see, but at least for now, they're saying that they're done and they're closing up shop and Gay Star News will be no more. And I'm real sad because I go there. They do a lot of my work for me.
We have to save them. If we all pitch in, let's start a Wikipedia campaign. If everyone pitches in $3, we will have to get to stop showing you this stupid message.
Yep. That's it for the news.
Strippers?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard, and I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good, but also I enjoy the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do, yes. It was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. You want to talk about strippers?
Yeah, let's talk about strippers.
Okay. Are we even supposed to call them strippers? Is there some, like, exotic dancer? Is there some more PC way to say that? Because I feel like stripper doesn't exactly have the best of connotations.
Oh. Personnel with oversight over removing their clothing for the enhancement of the joy of others. I don't know. I haven't heard a stripper. I know, like, I mean, pretty much any name, especially in this kind of, like, industry, like, seems, has a negative connotation, but I don't know what else you would, exotic dancer, that does seem like the potential alternative.
I'm a dancer.
I think we could just go with strippers. And strippers, tell us what you think, or don't, and we'll pay you.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But also, part of the reason we wanted to do this is because the last one was a real heavy episode, so we wanted to...
I'm going to sex it up a little bit.
Just do a little sexy time, make a little bit lighter topic, unless you come with something terrifying.
There's
like
nothing
you tend to do, but...
There's nothing better to do after you've been crying than just go get fucking wasted and put money in somebody's pants.
This is like following the breakup process. Do you want to tell me something first?
Sure. Okay. So just a little bit about history, which I know you love.
Do I have to be here for this, or yeah. Can you do this on your own?
I'm going to talk to you about the Condor Club. The Condor Club claims, a little bit without evidence, but claims to be...
Hey, this is the world we live in.
The world's first topless and bottomless entertainment venue.
For men and women?
No, it's ladies.
Oh.
So,
Mike, you're taking this opportunity for us to talk about strippers, to talk about lady strippers?
Okay, so my mom
okay.
went and she went to Texas to visit her ex-person guy dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he listens to the show, which I think is really, really interesting. And his piece of feedback to her that she shared with me was that we should talk about boobs more. So, yes, I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about lady strippers.
I don't think we've ever gotten that feedback.
I was like, well, we did a whole episode on boobs.
Yeah, we thought we'd just like really just lock that in and got it taken care of.
Okay. So the club is in the North Beach section of San Francisco, California. It opened in 1964. It's at the corner of Broadway and Columbus. Does all the gay shit happen on Broadway in whatever city it is?
Yes.
Like Seattle, the gayborhood is more or less
it's on
built around Broadway.
Yeah.
Broadway is where all of the musicals are in Manhattan. Okay. Anyway, the corner of Broadway and Columbus Avenue in San Francisco. So the whole like dancing thing started with this woman named Carol Doda. And there's a giant lit sign in front of the club that is her. It's a picture of her. And she went topless for the first time on June 19th, 1964. She would...
Is this like when stripping started? This is the...
Well, stripping has been around for a really long time. And it just... Not as like a venue.
Like
this is where you go for that. Like you could hire exotic dancers. And there were belly dancers all throughout history for like... Especially in the Middle East. And this was... At least they claim to be the first... establishment where you go and this is what happens, which I'm kind of surprised that it took until the 60s, right? And burlesque was a thing. There's strip teases that were a thing, but as like this is the bar where this happens all the time, I think is their claim. So she would, there was a white piano that would come down from the ceiling and she would be on it, and then she would get naked and perform. She went bottomless and the dancers performed fully nude on September 3rd, 1969, which I just think is really funny that there's an exact date for like, this is the first time vajayjays were shown. And then in 1972, bottomless nude dancing became illegal if establishments served alcohol, but she continued to dance there topless until 1986, which, so 22 years.
Wait, you can go bottomless? Alcohol and bottomless was the problem?
Bottomless nude dancing became illegal in establishments that served alcohol in California in 1972.
That's a weird line to draw. I mean, a lot of these things are like weird religious or whatever people's stupid opinions are about the body and sexuality. But like, why are vaginas, I can drink alcohol around exposed boobs, but once it's a vagina, no. Like, I'm going to shove my straw in there or what? I don't know what they think is going
to
happen.
Cecil Adams, who writes The Straight Dope, or at least used to for the Washington, there's a Washington Post, maybe? There's a newspaper that he wrote for many, many years. But he made me familiar with the phrase, pricks are pornographic, tits are not. And vaginas are very much pornographic, but breasts are not, at least in some circles, like in some modes of thinking or whatever. Do you remember, you lived here when all of this was happening. There were the strip clubs in Seattle. There was the one across the street from the Pike Place Market. That's Showgirls. And then there was another one called the Lusty Lady that was also down there. It was across the street from the Four Seasons, what's now the Four Seasons there. And the Lusty Lady's for sure closed. I think Showgirls is still there. Anyway, there was... there was this big active push to fight against them because they are like right in the main central tourist part of Seattle.
Yeah, they are right there.
Not family friendly, etc. So the city of Seattle tried to pass an ordinance that said that you could only dance nude if the lights were on. They're like, yeah, we'll get them. Like, who wants to go watch strippers with all the lights on? That'll put a stop to it in like a sneaky kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember how all of that turned out, because there was a legal challenge that, like, no, you can't tell us what to do in that way. And
I'm sure people were like, I still want to see naked ladies. That's fine. Go ahead. Let's leave the lights
fine.
On.
Turn the lights on.
Turn the
whatever.
Lights on and then take off your clothes.
Do what you got to do.
That's so weird. Yeah. Okay. But.
And it is rooted in this sort of puritanical nudity is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. If we shine a light on the nudity, then people will realize how disgusting they are and leave.
Yeah. Because there's probably boners, Kyle.
Mm.
I know.
At a strip club.
I know.
Have we no decency?
I know. So the Condor Club, I will end with a just, I love it so much. I'm going to surprise you. So
okay.
In November of 1983, one of the bouncers, Jimmy Ferrozzo, and his girlfriend, exotic dancer Teresa Hill, decided after the club closed, so after hours, that they would bang on that white piano.
Oh, hot.
They accidentally hit the on switch. The piano retracted into the ceiling and crushed them to death.
Oh, God. Wow, I was not expecting that.
I know. What a way to go, right?
I mean, if you're going to pick a way, fucking
on a white piano
while it like flies, floats in the air towards heaven. Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty. Oh, shit. And I bet. Oh, my God. When they first. Now I'm imagining how they found this. Like,
What? I lied to you. She survived.
Oh, good.
He was asphyxiated because he was squished, but she was thin enough that she didn't get crushed. So that poor girl is fucking this guy and he gets sandwiched and killed and she just has to lay there while he chokes to death.
Oh my God, that's horrifying. Stop laughing.
I know,
man.
I
can't.
That's how I deal with really uncomfortable things sometimes.
Oh my God. And then, like, you can't just jump down from there. Like, how do you? Oh, God, that sounds like.
Did you have to wait till the next morning?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, how do you? This is the worst Saw movie ever.
Yep. Well, that's it. That's the Condor Club and the horrible, horrible thing that happened there.
Oh, thanks.
But they claim to be the first topless and bottomless entertainment venue.
I'd say they could probably more confidently claim they were the first place to crush a man to death on a floating white piano. Like that might be a more verifiable claim. Okay.
What you got?
I am going to tell you about the differences between male and female strippers.
Penises and vaginas. Done. Next segment.
Problem solved. Okay, if boobs aren't pornographic, then men's boobs are definitely not pornographic. We're all cool with those.
Which is weird.
Which is very weird. Yeah, which like you never think of until someone is like, but why? And then you're like, oh, because theirs are lumpier? Or I don't know, like, because milk? Or I don't know. It's weird.
I've seen some boobs.
Yeah.
In my life. I don't know.
I've been growing my own. So I get it. Okay, so this is actually based on a study that, believe it or not, I went out of my lane a little bit and found a study to talk about.
Great, yeah.
It's called Exotic Dancers, Gender Differences in Societal Reaction, Subcultural Ties, and Conventional Support. It is by Constance Bernard, Christian Gabriel, Leonardo DiCaprio, Elizabeth Monk Turner, Celeste Phil, Jennifer Sherwood, and Thomas Tyree.
So I figured it was just going to be one skeezy dude that really wanted a doctorate. But
yeah.
No, it turns out lots of people are interested in stripper stuff.
Yeah, obviously you don't know based on names, but these are a lot of female names. So how do we trust this? Who let women do science? did we approve that? Or where's the man to tell me if this is okay to trust? Yeah, so it is. I kind of like that. I know I shouldn't. That's, I guess, I don't know, weird. But like having a woman study this. Yeah. Okay. This came out in the 2003 Journal of Criminal Justice and Popular Culture.
Okay.
It's a fun mix of things. That's a fun journal.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I say more about the study, they did like a review of existing studies that they had, and a lot of them for like as early as the 60s, like they were like putting together all these studies. But in that section, one of the things that it said is dancing is a type of sex work.
Interesting.
Which I wouldn't put
I mean, we saw Showgirls, and she did that weird blender move on him as a lap dance, and he came.
Yep, yep. But I don't think that was part of her job. It might have been a job for him, but
yeah, okay.
I don't. Yeah, that was her private, her own personal private. Oh, you're right. She ground on him in the back room.
Yeah,
but that wasn't sex. They didn't have sex.
But he had an orgasm. What was it?
Does orgasm just? I mean, I orgasmed on the bus the other day, but like I didn't have sex with it.
You had sex with the bus.
Oh, okay. Biggest one I've had yet.
Yeah, or maybe with the driver. You had sex even with if the we're driver.
Not. Well, in that way, it fits a lot of my other sexual encounters because we never made eye contact. Okay, that was just really odd. I would never have considered stripping sex work. Yeah. I mean, I understand sometimes that can go together, but I still wouldn't have considered that. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of dancing that isn't stripping that is kind of sexy.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like lots of like Sia's dancers or Lady Gaga's dancers would bang.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I don't know. Where should that line be? Go ahead.
No, that wasn't my segment. Yeah. I don't think. So this was in Virginia because I guess a lot of studies like to be in Virginia. They talked to 56 respondents. 16 male and 40 female, which apparently is roughly the gender distribution nationally for exotic dancing.
Okay.
So that's about 28% male,
mm-hmm.
which I wouldn't have known that was that many. Mm-hmm. So they asked them about...
I wonder how many of those 28% are gay versus straight and dance for women versus men. Go ahead.
I wonder too.
Yeah.
Let's think about that. Okay. Some of the findings, 75% of their friends and 65% of their significant others accepted their work.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a third of strippers whose partners, whose romantic relationship person doesn't like that they're a stripper.
That to me is
don't like in general, not just in this space. Don't be with somebody if you don't like their job.
Yeah, or like you don't have to love their job. You just have to support them in what they're doing. Like, I don't get that.
That's like the Conways, Kellyanne and her husband.
Oh yeah.
Like he is a rabid Trump hater.
Yeah,
and of course she's got his lips on her butthole, so she just repeats everything he says into her ass like a megaphone,
like that human centipede.
Yeah.
Why is this getting so weird? Okay. Dancers reported that, so that was friends and relationships. For their family, they said that 46% of their family accepted this as a way to earn money.
I mean, accept it or not, it is a way to earn money.
I mean, yeah, I reject the premise that money is exchange hands. Yeah, and 9% of family members were intolerant or repulsed by this line of work, which that, you know, I think maybe it's the word repulsed or intolerance, like just like your family, like this to me, we've talked a lot about not just your orientation. There are a lot of things people have to come out about, and this feels like, you know, one of those potential things someone would have to come out to their family about.
Yep.
And then potentially face the rejection. Well, I mean, clearly, you know, there are at least, you know, some people that get rejected because of that.
I wonder how that percentage compares to, like, people's feelings about gay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if it just proves that there's about half of humanity that is terrible.
This just sucks. They just...
they hate everything different that they don't approve of.
They just go down the questionnaire, the survey they get, and they're like, disapprove, right. Disapprove. I don't know. You're asking a lot of wondering questions that I don't have answers to.
I know.
So that's fun. All of the male respondents said they felt community knowledge of their profession positively affected them.
Interesting.
Whereas only 62% of the female dancers felt a positive community support.
Well, probably because they're studly and they're slutty. The girls are slutty, right? That's what it feels like anyway.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it talks a little bit about how women that are going to strip clubs, it's more about an entertainment, and men go for a variety of reasons, but, you know, sexual. So that, again, like, because everything is about the man's point of view. It's like, well, men view this as a sexual activity when it's someone they're into versus they can see women going there and just having fun and whatever. Yeah. And that affects the judgment of then the person they're observing, and not, which it should, like, affect our judgment of the person going. Like, yep. Not that it's fine to go, but like, we're casting all of that. It's like the hypocrisy of, that's horrible, now let me go home and look at porn and jerk off, you know, like, yep. Okay, well,
yeah. Yeah, it's in that same space of like with sex workers, right? Mm-hmm. And how there are a lot of jurisdictions that have stopped arresting the sex workers and have started to arrest the Johns instead, right? Mm. Like, it takes two to tango,
yeah.
Right? Like, why is she the problem here? She's only able to do that because there are customers, right? Like, anyway.
Yeah. More women, and this could actually feed into that, like, lack of community support. More women than men rely on dancing for primary support, like money. So a majority, 56% of female respondents said they dance for a living, to make a living, whereas 12% of men dance for a living. Which, like, that's a big chunk of male dancers that are doing it not to make money. That's not the reason they're doing it.
Yeah.
And actually, this is where it gets sexy.
Sexy?
Is this my sexy voice? Are you turned on? Hey, everybody.
Tell me your stuff, Kyle.
Okay. Yeah, I can't. That was a weird, almost like baby, soft baby-like, but somehow old man. I don't know what that voice was. Other than money, one of the reasons men enter into stripping is to show off their bodies.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if I was jacked, I would take off my shirt too.
Yeah, except no, maybe, I don't know.
No, I wouldn't.
Like I mentioned before, even when I was jacked, I would not ever. No, but that's because I was super fucked up in the head about it.
And now you're not. No, I have weird body stuff too. Which is why I'm going to not eat and lose a bunch of weight. Great. So that's the difference between male and female dancers.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you want to ask more questions about things I don't know? Or do you want to do your segment?
I mean,
segment?
I do. I very much do.
I appreciate you holding it back to just 14 of them.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about my trip to Houston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So I went to Houston for my fraternity's national conference. It happens every other summer. And this time it was in Houston. Because who doesn't love Houston in late July?
Being from Houston, I hate Houston. Well, I hate Houston in all seasons. But yeah, it's a stupid idea.
So,
save the people who are going to New Orleans in a couple weeks.
Yeah, right.
It's also going to be a little muggy.
A little muggy. A little hot. A little sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
Whatevs.
Yeah.
So I went to a place called Tony's Corner Pocket, which is it's adjacent to the Montrose neighborhood, which is the gayborhood in Houston, but it's not actually in it, but it's close-ish. Mm-hmm. It is a go-go boy bar. Now, I've been to go-go boy bars before. We've been to several together. This one wins first prize in handsiness.
Ooh, wait, among whom?
Both parties.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's the kind of place that, like, you're just sitting there at the bar and a person wearing only tiny, tiny, tiny Speedo trunks will come and just start massaging you and striking up a conversation with you. And I wanted to talk about, like, two things in this segment. The first was just my whole experience there.
Yeah.
But also I want to talk about, like, we have dramatically different feelings, thoughts, opinions, experiences when it comes to strip clubs.
Yeah.
And let's explore that a little bit. So
wait, did you go with other people or were you by yourself?
I went by myself once and I brought a herd of people with me the second time.
Huh?
Yeah. So I want to talk about Alexis. Alexis is
the nicest car you can buy.
Yeah. Yes. He is also a stripper.
Oh, okay.
At Tony's Corner Pocket. So he said that he was 30, but I was just sitting there and, you know, at the bar, everything is like at chest level, nipple level or whatever. And he came up and was like near me and talking. Just beautiful. He's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And he had glasses on, like nerdy glasses on, in like that super crazy ass sexy kind of way.
Yeah.
And just ripped. And, you know, I like him brown. He's from El Salvador. Mm. And so it had crazy deep olive skin, which everybody in Houston is tanner anyway, because it's Texas.
Yeah, because you have to be.
Yeah. But anyway, we were just chatting, and I gave him some money, and he, like, rubbed my back a little bit, and I grabbed onto his ab region, and we had a conversation. It was great. He's 30. He's from El Salvador, and is straight. He told me he's straight, that he... is there because he knows that he can use what he has to get money from gay guys. And he said, this was a bit into our conversation too. He didn't lead with all of that. He said, he didn't want to lie, that he could tell that I'm a good person, and that, but he didn't want to lie to me when I asked him, so are you gay or straight or bi or whatever? And he's like, well, I'm straight. I'm not going to lie to you about that.
I wondered like what the game is of like, you know, is that true? Is it better to pretend like you're gay, or is it better to pretend like you're straight?
Right.
Cause that's like having a fantasy there. Like that dynamic must be really interesting.
So, and you know, we went to the Corner Pocket. I don't know why it's Tony's Corner Pocket in Houston. It's just the corner pocket in New Orleans.
Yes. Every gay city has Broadway and a Corner Pocket.
Yeah, apparently.
Yep.
And then in Portland, there's the Silverado, which is full frontal nudity. We took you there for Trevor and I's bachelor party.
Yep. And we also went to a female strip club for you and Trevor's bachelor party.
Yeah, because I had a bunch of fraternity brothers that were...
It was a mixture of straights and gays.
Yeah, that was a fun night, actually. I hope you have... were like more fun than discomfort.
That's like any social experience. I'm like, if I have slightly more fun than discomfort, it's cool. That doesn't always happen, but no, I had a lot of fun.
So in all three of those cases, the two Corner Pockets and the Silverado, and I've been to others, but let's just limit it to those three, over half of the dancers are straight, or at least they say they are. And it leaves me wondering, are they actually straight? Are they straight but not narrow? Are they bi? Are they actually gay and just saying that they're straight so that they don't get hit on by people that they don't want to get hit on by? It's interesting to me. I don't know what to believe.
Yeah, I guess. I think that's part of where my discomfort is, of like, I don't know. A lot of what you're saying makes me very uncomfortable, just like when you're talking about having Alexis stand up beside you and start talking to you, and you talk, and then you're like touching him, but like I don't know. Like what he's doing it is to get money from you. And like, but I mean, he may of course be enjoying it as well, but it just feels like that entire interaction to me feels uncomfortable. And then it like that it's in public and you can, I don't know. I just,
So he went around the bar again. He left to go talk to other people, get money from other people.
Were you jealous?
A little bit.
Really? No,
yeah, sure. But then there's also
That must be part of the game too. Like, I'm gonna leave a little bit so he misses me and he wants me back. And
yep.
Oh man.
Yep, absolutely it is. Too many things I want to say at the same time. So he went around the bar and then he came back. When he came back the second time, he walked up from the other side, from my right side, and just like the underwear that he was wearing allowed him to just like flop his massive dick onto my thigh. I had no idea he had a giant dick until he like went around the bar and came back. And it was like, sweet Jesus. It's like a fucking pork loin in there. It was ridiculous. So then, you know,
he came back and you just came.
But I was like, that made me uncomfortable.
Oh, really?
Bit. Yeah. Because there's something about, I mean, first, that's a little bit violating, right? But he also knew that I would be into it, so is it really? But we didn't negotiate that. There was no consent there of, like, put your genitals on me.
Yeah. I mean, it seems hard to, like, at the same time, he didn't ask consent to rub your back. Like,
Right.
It does seem like, I think this is where I struggle with the whole consent thing. I think a lot of things, like, you have to negotiate as you go. Like, you can't up front list out what are all the things that I consent to and don't.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's like, there are some societal boundaries that we should know are a thing. But if I'm in a strip club and I've been already talking to this guy and flirting with him and his penis touches my leg, you're allowed to be like, no, I don't want that. But it's, that's, yeah, doesn't yep. feel so violating, even though you're right, it was unwelcome.
It wasn't like unwelcome. But he didn't know that.
Oh, right.
So like, yeah. That's the sort of conundrum, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, I think you have to kind of make some of those assumptions along the way. You're not going to get 100% consent. I mean, and there are probably people that say you should get consent between yeah. every single thing you do.
So, unlike the corner pocket in New Orleans, where I saw lots of dicks, they're not supposed to actually show them, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in Tony's corner pocket in Houston. Mm. They would often, like, you want to put money in their shorts, so they would, like, open their shorts, like, 3 feet in front of them so that you could see everything while you were putting the money in there. But that's different than,
yeah.
you know, what we saw in New Orleans. I tipped him, and then he, like, grabbed my hand and put it on his dick.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, how do I feel about this? This is massive and fun. And now I'm sad that you're straight. Would I pay you more money to fuck me if you weren't straight? Because I know you're not into me. Like it was just, it was interesting. But this sort of leads back to your discomfort with the whole yeah. thing. I think that my comfort with all of it is rooted in the fact that I know that this is just a transaction.
Right.
Like,
right.
I know I'm giving money to this person, and I know that they are giving me in return whatever we sort of, it's unspoken, a lot of it, but like yeah. whatever we have negotiated yeah. for this price.
A service. You're paying money for a service.
Yeah. And I think that's a very like logical, like Myers-Briggs T kind of a way to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think that you have a harder time divorcing them from their humanity, from their personhood, from their feelings. Like,
yeah.
like your maybe empathy about the whole thing kicks in.
Yeah. Like, do you want to be here or not? Or like, just, I'm always like being self-conscious. It's always like, and I probably a little bit of like shame about sex and stuff. Like, other people can see me doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that say about me and my, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, what I'm interested in and my sexuality and, there, yeah, I'm so uncomfortable at strip clubs. Even like, I mean, go-go boys or like people that are like dancing in their cage or whatever, like that's fine. But most like, but I don't have to, they're doing their thing. They're over there. I get to watch and I try not to like stare too much, 'cause that even makes me uncomfortable, even though that's, I think, what they're there for. But like,
please look at me, please.
I know, I
like,
am here,
your statistics, your statistics said that they do, like a lot of men are dancing so that they will be looked
yeah,
at, right?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, the entire thing. It's like, I also don't like things that are kind of like phony, like, or you know, I don't like rom-coms, because they're just like, this is not real life. This is why I like fucking depressing ass movies, because it's yeah. like, I want an authentic view of everything, and to like to have this kind of like charade that, ew.
Douche.
Sorry, I grossed myself out. Like that you're just kind of all putting on this pretense. Like, I mean, I don't know. I could see like, man, I want to touch a hot body. I'll give this money to do this, but then I feel weird about myself. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
when I went home that night, when I left the club and I smelled like him.
Oh,
because he was wearing a fragrance that like got on me, because mm-hmm. he was touching
all
me.
Over you, yeah.
And that was really hot. That was
yeah.
like, that was the hottest part, actually, was after it was all over, and then like here's this scent that's on me, and then the memory of like touching this person, and he's just so fucking hot, so hot, and so that was fun, you know.
Is there a thing about having a fetish for smell? I guess there has to be, because people like pits and stuff, but like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm just wondering if there's like a whole other thing of
like the Rawhide in New Orleans. I don't know if you remember the there's a sign on the door that says no cologne. They prefer that you don't wear deodorant.
Yeah.
And that's because it's.
Do you ever go to like a hookup and you're like, should I put on deodorant or not? Like, are they not that I like actively like really focus on my pitular region,
mm-hmm.
but like you never know. Like, you don't want to be like have all this deodorant and then they like. start doing stuff, and they're like, oh, well, now I'm just chewing like little chunks of Old Spice or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no. I don't, I don't worry about those things, but I understand why somebody would.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I do my normal routine. Mm. And
this is, again, like the, I'm always thinking of like, what's their comfort and are they okay? But also there's something weird about people. I think it's also a little like, it's very vulnerable to be a patron there, because that is saying very publicly, this is what my sexual interest, and this is what I want, and I want to touch you, and I'm going to do that. It's like, it actually seems like very vulnerable to be there and admit those things that
sure.
I,
yeah, well, so I went twice in Houston. I went the first time by myself, and the second time I was there with, I brought three gay fraternity brothers, and I observed my own behavior was dramatically different, and I think it's in this space. I didn't want them to see what I was into, so I became self-conscious. So when it was a bunch of strangers, when it was a bunch of randos, I didn't care.
Huh.
Judge me all you want to. You fuckers are here too.
Yeah.
But when it was people that I have a relationship with, that I'm going to continue to have a relationship with because we're in the same fraternity, then I was like, oh God, don't be too forward. Don't stare too long. Don't let them see which go-go boy I'm most into.
I wonder if you have, like, once you become friends with someone, you have a hard time seeing them as sexual. You don't sleep with your friends. I wonder if that's connected to like the, if I know you and have a friendship with you, what are you going to think about me and my sexual interests and what I want?
Which is weird because I'm so vanilla for the most part that like, it's not like I do anything crazy that they would then go and tell people.
But
I think you're right. Like, it doesn't have to make sense. There's still a feeling.
There's a fear of judgment regardless, like just, I mean, and this is the like, back to like the puritanical beliefs of like sex, like we're supposed to have shame for the thing that we all want. It'd be like if we were all ashamed that we had to eat food and all did it in private. It's like, this is stupid.
Well, some people do that.
That's true. I do that. This is not what we were talking about, but like when I
gayish, this is not what we were talking about.
In a relationship, sometimes I would wait for him to leave so I could do whatever dirty, dirty food thing I was going to do.
Yeah.
And then he'd come back and I'd be like, he'd be like, where's that bag of M&Ms that we bought? And I was
what
like,
crap, they're no not.
Exactly. Yeah. So I definitely had to do some shame eating.
So I got to massage his giant, giant dick for a little while. And then he went away again. And then he had to dance because their whole shtick there is that every night is a stripping competition. And so everybody has their moment on the stage. When they're not on the stage, they're mingling in the crowd and putting their junk on dudes' legs or whatever. Then the drag queen that was doing all of the emceeing for the competition, big old quotes around the word competition, when she announced Alexis, she said two quick things. Number one, yes, it's real. Number two, don't poke your eye out. And then he came out and he had gotten, he was hard when he came out. And again, not full frontal, like all of them always had underwear on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they buy these magic underwear that like are there and stay on, but also like might as well not be there.
Yeah.
And just, that might have been too much for me. Like I'm kind of glad that he was straight and not interested in me because, good Lord, it was ridiculous. But then he didn't win that night. But the second night that I came, he won the competition.
Oh, wow.
Which is all done just by applause at the end of the night.
Oh, yeah. Award-winning stripper,
Alexis from El Salvador. Also, I'm debating the ethics of this maybe, but I found him on Facebook. Should I post a picture? That's
no,
maybe not okay.
No.
All right.
I would go no.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say that. I absolutely do that level of stalking of people.
So. Oh yeah. 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 Just, I also wondered like, what does this person do?
Mm.
How much of that is just magic?
Got a big dick and hard abs.
How much of that is magic genetics?
Yeah. Oh,
how many
yeah.
hours a day does he work out to look like that?
Yeah.
And like, what are the chances of being like so dick size is a funny thing because you can't, you don't choose it, right? Nobody can change. Like, there's like maybe surgeries, but most of them are awful. Like, yeah. Like it's just pretty much like God gives you what he gives you, yeah. And you deal with it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm just always fascinated by like, what must it be like to be that person?
Mm. That's what, that is like, one of those weird things I think all the time. Like, I will never experience life of having a giant floppy dick. Like, that's just not ever going to be a thing I ever get to experience in this life.
Yep.
And it's,
unless there's like, we can upload our consciousness into the cloud and live in different
giant dicked individuals,
giant dicked bodies.
Become John Hamm for a day or whatever.
John Hamm. I guess that's pretty much it. Did I want to say anything else about that? He was so hot.
oh, that's good to know.
So hot. Okay, I will do the same thing in New Orleans. I'm absolutely certain of it, and I think I've decided to just be okay with that. I'm not ashamed of that. It's my money. They're hot. If it's what I want to do, then great.
And that's what, yeah, that's literally what it's there for. I should probably try to be more comfortable. Like, I don't think it's because it's not that I don't think they're hot or like want to touch them. I feel weird about it. So maybe I need to, no, I'm just going to get drunk and stay in the corner. Okay. So
I'll try not to push you too much.
For some reason, when other people push me to do it, then that public, people can see that happening. That makes me feel a little bit better about doing it because it's not me. He's going to make me. So yeah, make me touch some dicks. Okay. also, I remember, when me and Trevor, and you went for your bachelor party, but like when we went to the female strip club,
oh my God, when her vagina came out and both like looked like you had just seen Jesus. What the fuck?
Jesus is a woman and she hasn't shaved. Like, yeah, like, we were both, like, it was kind of nice to have someone else there to, like, be like, what, and we, like, sat there uncomfortably and drank, and, like, we were both, like, it's further down than I thought. Like, there's just a lot of, like, there's just, like, a lot of learnings.
Yeah. You're, like, fascinated in, like, the scientific way.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought that it was higher up. It's so close to their butt.
Yeah. And, when we were at the dude strip club, somebody put money in Trevor's pants. Do you remember that?
I don't.
It's pretty great.
That's flattering.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's the worst. Everyone hates him. that's not true. Okay. So for my last thing that I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about how often male strippers are gay or straight.
Ooh.
I'm not going to, but...
Is there like a brief synopsis of the gay versus straight thing? Just to
no.
Like, and let's not talk about it. Okay, great.
Nope. Then
go ahead. It's literally my Patreon segment. So,
it is. Oh,
yeah.
Wait, do you have an answer?
To what? I don't have hard numbers. I have the opinions of two go-go dancers.
Oh, okay. Well, then
I read like 5 articles about this.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Awesome. Then I won't. Then I'm not going to talk about anything more. I'm going to talk about idiots, because so listen, if you want the real answer, listen to the Patreon segment. What I found is this stupid fucking Yahoo Answers question where someone said, do you think most male strippers are gay? And then people posted their opinions. Like, that's like, people are so fucking stupid. Like, they just post, it depends on what club they are stripping in. If it isn't a girls club where girls go to watch guys strip, then the guys are straight, vice versa. No, that's the best answer. You can't just post your opinion about this. This is not an, like, someone
it's
else.
It's not called Yahoo Opinion.
Yahoo bullshit, whatever I think today. Someone else. I think the majority of male strippers are straight. They might do it because it's an in-demand job that pays quite well from tips, etc. Also, I have a pet peeve around people that write one thing in a list and then et cetera. Like, I need 2 dots to create a line. One is not enough to put it. You can't put et cetera after that. It's like, someone else. No, the straights can move well, too. Two spelled T-O. Like,
oh, God.
It's just so, people are so fucking, like, it bugs me. This is what's wrong with our society. Anyway, so I'm not talking about that. Apparently Dan's talking about that in the Patreon, so that's perfect. So what I am going to do instead is we're going to figure out our stripper name.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, I have a couple.
Which reputable tool is going to do this for us?
Okay, this is on.
Reputable tool. That's a stripper name.
Oh, that's yours. We found yours. Never mind. Segment over. This is, I found a few different options. This one is bloody.net. BELEDY.net.
B-lady?
B-lady? But L-E-D-Y?
Oh.
B-lady? I don't know. So, Mike, what is the third letter of your first name?
C. It's either C, one, it's either C or K.
What do you want to use?
My birth certificate is C, so C.
Official. Official. Okay, your first...
It's like your horoscope, right? Like,
you got to use your actual rising sun star sign?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, Lucky is your first.
Lucky?
The second letter of your last name...
Oh.
I had to think about where the H went. I'm glad you said that. Leather. This
Lucky.
Is getting good. Leather. Lucky okay. Leather. Third letter. Oh, wait. And then the third letter of your last name.
H.
H. That's where the H is. Rod.
Lucky Leather Rod.
I feel like we were on a good trajectory, but I don't necessarily like Lucky Leather Lad or something would be maybe a little bit better.
My dad's name is Ron, and we always thought Ron Johnson was a great porn
name.
Oh,
yeah, it doesn't need to change his name at all. Okay, wait, so...
Lucky Leather Rod.
Let's see what mine would be. The third letter of my first name. Do I know what that is? L. Tex. Oh, my God.
What do you do if your name is Bo?
You're invited out of the club. You're asked to leave, please. Tex. Okay, the second letter of my last name,
it's
which is...
Tex?
Tex, that's my first name.
You're from
which
Houston.
So
that's
weird.
So great.
I know. Belady.net might be more insightful than we thought. So blue. Tex blue.
Spell blue.
Unfortunately, it's the stupid way. And the third letter of your last name. Balls. Oh, wait, sorry, that's Z. No, that's not the third letter of my last name. I just saw balls and got distracted. T. Buns.
Tex Blue Buns.
Well, the balls would have been better. Tex Blue Balls.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not good for anybody involved.
Maybe that's your kink. You know how people like, one of people's kinks is like not peeing and like saving up pee just till the last moment?
Okay. Yeah. We talked about that on
Water Sports.
Water Sports, yeah.
Did we? I don't know. We've talked for so many hours. Yeah. It's hard to know. Maybe blue balls is like someone's fetish. I guess edging. That's a fetish. Okay. So maybe we'll post this link. It's been a long time since I've promised to post a link anywhere, but I'll maybe really try to do it this time. Another option. Your stripper name is the color of your underwear and the last thing you ate. Both Mike and Dan actively looked at their Mike. What are you?
Gray muffin.
Dan, what you got?
Blue protein shake.
Hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine is like greenish
Kermit green.
Greenish peanuts. I don't think that's good. Okay, and then this is not name generator, but then I was looking at other there are people that post this to be like, what are funny stripper names or what are good stripper names? Two different sites I had the name Teddy Bear Jones as an option. There's also Bullwhip Bob, Backdoor Barney.
Backdoor Barney.
Adonis Thunderbolt.
Ooh.
Danglebert Humperdick. That's a little bit too much.
One.
I don't like that at all. Dallas Thorogood.
Danglebert Humperdick.
No, oh, you're...
I can't. I can't.
Leif Magan. That seems like it was a joke if I pronounced it right, but I don't get it. Leif Magan? Leif Magan? Anyway. Danglebert Humperdick? You're going with that?
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Beautiful.
I think I'm sticking with Tex Blue Balls.
Not Buns.
Nah.
You're just going to override that and go with Balls.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. Great.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Oh.
Did we do it?
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. Go, go, go.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
So are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We are going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest, but first.
But first.
Our website is gayishpodcast.com.
You had a moment of like, wait, what do we do now?
Well, no, I was debating whether to do a thing I'm going to do before or after the contact information, and I'll do it after. Oh, so our website is gayishpodcast.com.
Wow, building the tension. I like it. We are on so much social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. At gayishpodcast for /gayishpodcast, and Dan is telling me Discord. One of our listeners, Brandon, created a Discord server that we mentioned before, but now Mike, Dan, and I are all in and occasionally chatting every now and then, but it's like a really cool community. It's really awesome how much work you put into like setting that up, and there are a lot of people that share anything ranging from safe for work, chit chat and help and mental health support. It's cool. I can't talk apparently. And all the way to like naked people and stuff. And you can see who Dan fucked. And join that if you want to.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rate supply.
And our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
What's the thing you were going to do?
Oh, so I did want to mention briefly that, of course, we'll be appearing at the Pride 48 podcast, Queer Podcast Festival in New Orleans. Our time slot will be Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. We will be at the Holiday Inn Superdome.
1 p.m. Central?
Central.
Central.
Yep.
Cool.
So if you can make it in person, it's still possible to get tickets. If you're not able to make it in person, we will be live streaming that same day. Mm-hmm. That's, I didn't say the actual date, though. It's Sunday the 18th of August, 2019 at 1 p.m. Also, I wanted to mention briefly that Big Fatty had his 3,000th episode last week. When he started it, he does 5 20-minute shows a day and has been doing it for whatever, do the math, is.
A week.
5 20-minute shows a week.
Even I have a limit on how much Big Fatty I want to listen to.
Yeah, I don't think he would want to listen to himself that much. It's a huge milestone to have 3,000 episodes of a podcast. It's pretty interesting.
That's insane. That's really cool.
He promised us all he was going to stop at 3,000, but then Pride 48 raised $3,000 and over their live streaming weekend in June, and he's going to continue. But he's not going to continue at the same pace. He's already taken a day off and has said he's going to. If he wants to take time off, he will, and not feel pressured to keep doing it.
Oh, that's good.
Which, you know, that's kind of like the podcast equivalent of going out to pasture. You know, I'll show up when I want to.
I mean, okay.
But.
Wow.
I listen to every episode.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
It's like taking LSD and then sitting on your couch. You're like, what am I, why am I, what's happening all around me? But it's fine.
Yep. That's it. Gayest and straightest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So my gayest thing was, I was talking to one of my friends and I mentioned RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And he was like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And he was like, what? I had to back up, and like I thought this was a joke, or like I didn't know, like he had no concept of what RuPaul's Drag Race was.
Yeah.
And I like,
there are people in the world.
I get it's just I'm not even into RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, I've watched some of it. Like, I think it's good, but I was like doing this the whole time. I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, what is this thing? And I had to be like, it's a TV. Let's start with it's a TV show. Sort of the very, yeah, he was just hanging out with three self-proclaimed fag hags, and I said, text them right now, ask if they know what it is, and he started to text, and he was like, how do you spell it? And I said, spell it however you want, and he went, R-O-O. I was like, oh my god, I just don't understand. Of course, they replied, like, have you been living under a rock? So, the straightest thing,
yep,
which you mentioned in the Patreon segment, but we went to some of our friends' place who now live in Ballard in Seattle, which Ballard...
It's where fun goes to die.
It's where bros go to high five, I think. I might want to move there because they were talking about how bro it is, but it's like... It's outside of my little gay neighborhood that just is filled with gay weirdos and that's what I like, and going to their straight people commune of Ballard, and yeah, that's my straightest.
Yep.
They gave me, they fed me rosés, so it helped. It helped ease the, yeah. What about you?
The straightest thing about me this week, this morning, I went through the drive-thru at Starbucks, and the person that was helping me when I pulled
up. You did that because you're hungover.
I did that because I was hungover, yeah.
That's like your move, your hungover move.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Get a sausage and cheddar breakfast muffin sandwich thing, and then like a massive coffee. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. That's all I want when I can barely survive.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm reasonably confident that this person was assigned male at birth, but their name tag said Mimi, and they were wearing a lot of queer paraphernalia. And so I'm going to say they, but I don't know how they identify. But I said to them, I love your shirt, because it was a Starbucks corporate pride shirt. And then they looked at me, and for that instant, I could tell they thought that I was straight.
Mm.
They thought that I was trying to be like a straight savior or something.
Yeah.
And they made this horrible face at me, and they were like, it's corporate pride. And then like gave me my coffee and I moved on with my life. But just like, I realized in that instant in my Jeep looking hungover that this person thought that I was straight. And
that's one of the things I mean, it's actually like, since painting my fingernails, I feel like part of what I like about it is it's one thing I can be like, no, I'm gay. Painting your fingernails shouldn't be a gay thing, but it, like, people assume that, like, and especially in those scenarios, I want to be like, yo, I'm gay, but I'm gay, dog. Like, I'm so gay. Like, I, you know, it's just like, yeah,
yep.
I hate that. I know that feeling. And I hate it.
Yep. Yep.
You're like, no, I'm one of you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The gayest thing about me this week. So when I was in Houston, I hooked up with a guy on Grindr and to blow him. And
how is this the first? Okay. We've been hanging out this weekend as regular human friends.
How dare you?
How do I not actually? And sometimes you'll say things and I pretend to not know them and go along with them for the podcast. I didn't know this.
Wait, were you talking about this and then he shut us down for talking about the sex we had? Was that?
I don't remember that happening.
I shut down sex talk? Why would I do that?
In Facebook Messenger, you were like, you guys, stop bragging about your fucking sexual exploits.
Oh, maybe.
I think you were wasted. Yeah.
Oh, no. Wait.
Let me finish my story.
I retract that. Talk to me about sex. I'm sorry I said that. Okay.
So I'm blowing this guy.
Great.
I tell him how much I like my nipples played with.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes to town.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
And hurt like a motherfucker for like 3 days. I had chafed, kind of bleeding nipples that hurt so bad. I like, we were out at the bars at a karaoke bar on Sunday, and I was holding my beer to my nipple because the cold made it feel a little bit better. Oh man.
Okay, question. Did you, I'm guessing you liked it in the moment.
No, I would have told him to stop, but my mouth was full.
Were you also eating a hamburger? What do you mean? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was going to say, isn't it nice when you can say what you want and then you get it, but you were not able to say, like, please stop.
Right. Mm. Yeah. I said what I wanted and then I got punished for it, which is why I should never do that again.
Okay. Was a little bit of you turned on by the later having, like, bruised nipples?
No, it just
painful?
Hurt. It just hurt.
See, like, that's the thing I like about, like rough and violent sex is like later you can be like, this bruise mark, this bite mark, like that's
a couple.
I enjoy that.
A couple of days later, when it stopped hurting and it was just kind of like itchy and sensitive, that was pretty great. Like that felt good, like just having a shirt on and walking around. Anyway, it was intense. So that's it.
On that note.
Yeah, this has been Gayish. A special thank you to Tex Blue Balls and Dangerbert Humperdick.
Oh my God. A special thank you to all the male go-go boys that give us what we want. and take our money for it.
Yep. Thank you to Alexis's parents for giving him that dick and that body. Okay. Sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
See you next week.
And see you in New Orleans. Eventually.
Eventually.
Bye. Bye.
So many mic issues.
Okay.
This is the part where Mike and Mike, a mic.